Oh, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is a live prophecy reality edition. Studio cam is on, so come on over to First Amendment Radio and click on the chat room button and join the conversation. There's even a little screen, YouTube screen on the right-hand column where you can see my face, although it's not really important to see me, but rather just listen if you're working or whatever you're doing. Well, today, it's a covert takeover of the world by the Antichrist that's been going on for centuries. Covert 19, I guess we could call it that. That sounds like a good operational name. The Antichrist, trying to take a giant step forward, of course, in his shadow government. He has a lot of help out there. I mean, he put out the word to the different governors and heads of states and so forth to shut down their countries, to shut down their economies. Why? Why would he do that? How does that help the Antichrist and his agenda? Well, you know, we have an insight into his agenda because we read the Revelation. And at chapter 13, which pretty much covers the era that we're living in now. Yeah. Chapter 13 says that he's going to gain control of the entire monetary system of the world, so much so that he's going to be able to require, through his acting agents, that every man, rich and poor, free and bond, great and small, must have a mark or a number or the name of the beast in order to buy and sell in the monetary system that is based upon things that God says are an abomination, and that is usury and fiat money. That is an unjust weight and balance. And that's exactly what we have today. Now, the Antichrist and his shadow government, they're not satisfied that they already control all of the monetary systems of the world with their fiat, usury, money, including since 1913 and their Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. And for anyone who doesn't know by now that the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express or any other company that has federal in its name. Okay? But it's a private banking cabal. Of course, it's owned by the Antichrist and run through one of his city states. The financial district of London is one of the three cities of the empire of the city. And there's an article at my website. Go to crosstheborder.org. You'll see it up there. There's a link. If you go to my homepage, that is, you'll see there's a link there at the top, or it's always trending in the left-hand column because the top 10 trending articles are listed there. But the empire of the city, make sure you check it out. I call it the unholy trinity that rules the world. Okay, so what's going on here? The Assad article here over at Lou Rockwell. And I got a couple other things coming up. I want to show you the dismay of Donald Trump. We have a little thing that Donald Trump says kind of behind the scenes off to the side because he just found out something. Yeah. He just found out. He was as clueless as most of America. And you're going to see the cluelessness, the disappointment, the disbelief in the man's face and his eyes and his words when I show this video to you. You'll see that he was and is as clueless. I mean, he doesn't know who the Antichrist. He doesn't really know what's going on. He may even be a baby Christian. And you know what? I hope he is. I do hope that he has a saving faith, even though he's hanging out with the wrong people, I think, you know. But you'll see. And in our next segment, we're going to jump into where we left off. Let me see, where was that? Got it. My notes up here somewhere. Here we go. In our series that I'm doing in the second hour, we'll be discussing the false prophet and the Three Frogs era. So you'll want to stick around for that. And if you want to catch up, this is going to be the fourth segment in that series that I'm going through. You can go to my website there and you'll see the last segment. But in each segment, as I publish it on my blog at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, there's a link below the video that'll take you back to the first segment and a playlist there so you can watch them all in succession. I think it's kind of important to start at the beginning of this series I'm doing, so make sure you do that and stick around for the second hour. And you can listen now and jump into the middle, but you'll want to go back and review the whole thing. But this is, I'm reviewing my book as I'm writing it, and these chapters are that I'm going through right now are pretty much complete, and I hope they will be complete as I do them, or nearly complete, because I still find typos and stuff and some kind of sentence structure or words that need to be, or a little more clarification. And I want all the feedback I can get too while I'm doing this on the air, because this is going into the book that I'm writing that will be published probably later this year, after hopefully. I mean, I was really thinking Trump would do it, but Trump is under orders. Don't think for a minute that it would be any different even if Obama was back in the office again, or Hillary Clinton had. I mean, yeah, things would be worse in general, but still, presidents, when they find out what Trump has found out, and you know, that you'll see it anyway. Anyway, let's take a look at this article. Everyone should go to lewrockwell.com and get on their list. There are many, many good authors and good articles there. They'll help keep you in the loop. You can also listen to, if you're at work in the afternoon, and you can listen to First Amendment Radio while you work. And we play David Knight in the afternoon, so make sure you listen into his show every day. Definitely worth the listen. It runs for 3 hours. He does a lot of repetition, but hey, still, it's better than filling your mind with a romantic nonsense all day long from pop music or something else. But you know, you can listen to First Amendment Radio on your Prophecy Reality News app, or you can put a link to our Mobi page and go to the firstamendmentradio.com there, and there's a link that says mobile on it, or Mobi or something like that for mobile listeners, and then put a link, open it up in your browser on your device, whatever it is, smartphone, iPad, or whatever, and then save a link on your Surface so that you can go right to it, because we don't have Apple apps anymore. Yeah, I decided against being having to pay them every year for the privilege of having a web page. Yeah, because that's all an app is. It's just a website in a little program to fit on your smartphone. And so anyway, I didn't want to pay extortion fees to Apple for the privilege of getting on their device, which their market is diminishing every year. So I'll stick with that, which is getting more, taking over the market, and that would be the Android. Okay. Anyway, this article here, the biggest fraud in history is happening right before our eyes. When I consider life, 'tis all a cheat, yet fooled with hope, men favor the deceit. Trust on and think tomorrow will repay. Tomorrow's falser than the former day. Lies worse, and while it says we shall be blessed with some new joys, cuts off what we possessed. And that's poetry from a former time. More and more evidence is forthcoming daily that this new coronavirus called COVID-19 is not only being blown out of proportion, but is purposely being manipulated to show many more deaths than are actually caused by this mysterious virus. In some cases, as in Italy, the so-called current epicenter of this falsely identified plandemic, the obvious deception is easy to identify, but it goes on nonetheless. This due to the perpetrators of this fraud understanding that fear sells and allows for the unimpeded ease of population control. This is partially due to weakness of the mind, but also to the fact that the American public is no longer independent and free, but is beholden to the state as guardian of the flock. Much of the hype surrounding this ordeal has been refuted, and those responsible for making magnificent and unsubstantiated death claims early on have not only backed off, but have ratcheted down their initial warnings exponentially. This was done quietly and without fanfare, of course, unlike their mass fear-mongering, but nonetheless, their claims were patently false. This is why the continued tyranny due to this hype is so ridiculous. As to the false basis for the initial fear has been exposed, but the political class and its media continuing on as if their lies were not noticed. In the meantime, millions of Americans are without a job, without savings, and without any way to support their families, all due to forcible government interference into their lives in the name of safety. The economy was shut down and is still shut down with no apparent end in sight. The salacious headlines continue and read as if Armageddon is already here, but by some legitimate estimates, the actual numbers being reported of death due to this virus could be 10 times too high. There should be no doubt at this point that this entire episode of viral panic has either been purposely staged or used to accomplish nefarious political agendas, or both, and I'm going with both. All this for a pneumonia-like sickness that is minor compared to the common flu, but a very convenient tool if control of the masses is sought. I mean, they could have done with this any flu. They could exaggerate and even they could use the real statistics for the flu and come out with a more real disaster. Much of this began due to the governments around the world, especially the US and UK, listening to one man, a supposed coronavirus expert, epidemiologist Neil Ferguson. He projected 2.2 million deaths in the US and over 500,000 in the UK if extreme actions were not taken. After the first day of the UK lockdown, he lowered those estimates by a factor of 25 down to 20,000. After this was properly scrutinized, he made a statement in an attempt to cover his own incompetence, but was not successful in my opinion. But did things change after his fraudulent model was exposed? A model used to close down entire countries? Of course not, because that would never fit the agenda sought by the ruling class. And what does the ruling class say? Never let a crisis go to waste. If we can take 10 steps forward, even if we have to take 5 back, that's fine. We're 5 steps forward to our goal of totalitarian control of the entire world. And that's what it's all about. And we know where it's going because the Bible has predicted it. And what a better way, to get more people under the thumb of the money powers. Because that's what it's all about. That's where it ends in chapter 13 of the Revelation with the enforced mark of the beast. Okay. Now, I told you there was a little video I wanted to share with you, and I have a problem is I can't get the audio. If I play a video on the video screen, I can't get it over to the audio. So people are listening to audio only. I can explain to you what's going on, but you may not hear the video unless I turn up the speaker. But I don't know about feedback and stuff like that. This is where I need a technician and a producer, but I don't have one. It's me. I'm it. And I have a lot to do already. But let me bring up this video. And I'm going to put this. What I'll do is I'll put this in the chat room. It's only 1 minute and 5 seconds long. And it's repeated a lot of times during that because it's a very short clip. Let's see. I'll copy that and I'll put it in the chat room at the same time.
You may have listened to this video already, but I want you to listen again. This time I have a little better sound, and I want you to pay very close attention to what he says. Pompeo says this is a live exercise. And what you'll hear in the background is Donald Trump say, "You should have let us know." So again, I'm going to let it play over a couple times so you can hear it. It's very interesting. Take a listen.
This is not about retribution. This matters going forward. We're in a live exercise here to get this right. We need to make sure that even... We're in a live exercise here to get this right. We're in a live exercise here to get this right. We're in a live exercise here to get this right. We're...
Okay. You caught that, and you can have that link there in the chat room, and I'll post it under my video or in on my website when I post this show segment. You can see the Donald Trump is visibly not very happy with his Secretary of State, former head of the CIA, and that would be Catholics, we use CIA because it's a Central Intelligence Agency. We say Catholics in Agent Action because the acronym fits, but it's really Jesuits in Action. It really is. It's the shadow government. And all of these people, from the governor of California to the heads of states or people like Donald Trump who have no choice but to go along with the charade because he wasn't into it in the beginning. Because he was looking realistically. And then he wanted to end it by April 1st and definitely by Easter. But you can see that he's disappointed because maybe he's just found out for the first time since he became president. Maybe it's really hit him hard that he's not really in control. Because, you know, I mean, all they have to do is if he says, "I'm going to do what I want to do." No, then they take him aside. They have a little talk about, oh, you know, John F. Kennedy and what happened to Ronald Reagan when he wouldn't get in line. That's really what I see going on here behind the scenes, that he has no choice but to go along with this charade because he's just the president, the mouthpiece of the United States. He is not the ruler of the world, as it would seem. There is one ruler of the darkness of this world. And of course, that's Satan and his false prophet, man of sin, Antichrist. And of course, their shadow government covered under layers and upon layers. And that's all this is. Donald Trump, whether he knows it or not, Mike Pompeo, whether he knows it or not, these are all layers of plausible deniability for the true rulers of the world. Because they learned, see, they learned from their 1260-year overt reign of the Roman Empire in history. They learned that it's better to control things behind the shadows, to have layers upon layer of plausible deniability so that they never have to take the blame, but the blame can always be shifted to someone else. They don't want to be the target when things don't go right or when things go right, because what are they after? They're after your soul, your life, your labor. It's not money. They own the money. But they want to own you. That's what they want to own. And so they'll print the money to get your labor or to get the labor that is out there and redistribute it at their will. They control all the labor of the world because everybody is now participating in their evil, abominational monetary system. And it's coming. And, you know, I dedicate a chapter in my first book to the Mark of the Beast. And of course, I'll have a chapter dedicated to that. But you can pretty much read what I'm going to write because I wrote it in my quincentennial publication of the Horae Apocalypticae. Yes, it's an updated. I hope that if E.B. Eliot had lived until today, that we would have updated it the same way. But, you know, he died over 100 years ago. So I took it upon myself to publish and revise a quincentennial edition of the Horae Apocalypticae. Because most of what he had was right up until the time that... we're going to go into a break here. So you're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. And, you know, spread it around. Tell someone to tune in. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Have you seen the Left Behind movies? Have you read the Left Behind fictional book series? Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. Because they see the world stage shaping to fulfill what they have been led to believe is sound biblical interpretation, a left behind rapture scenario, this false view of prophecy is reinforced in the mind, not only of its adherents, but also includes those who have been merely exposed to the specific media. Is it possible that false prophecy can be fulfilled? The rapture theories have always been in dispute. Pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib disputes have risen up in exclusively evangelical circles of recent history. So that when true believers don't suddenly disappear, this element will easily go by the wayside when all see a new Jewish temple begin to be built. Will this be part of the great delusion that will come upon the whole earth? It seems that this great prophetic delusion has already overcome practically the entire American evangelical and Christian world. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. To learn more, visit crosstheborder.org. That's C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. Our broadcast today, Covert 19, March to the Mark of the Beast, because that is the end that is in sight. That is the agenda, is the One World Monetary System, or the UN Agenda 2030. It's all there. And here it is. This is the article here. HorreApocalypticae.wordpress.com. Let me put this in the chat room too. This is called Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. If you read this to the end, you'll get to the 2030 agenda. This is also a chapter going to be, well, as part of my book. We've already done, covered this, this part. Let's see, there's the chat room there. Let me put this article in there. Paste. And this pretty much outlines where we're at, covering chapter 13 and the end in sight, how we're on our march to the mark of the beast, to a one-world monetary system where everyone is required to participate. It will likely be digital. They seems they want to get rid of cash. How fast will they move? Well, in some parts of the world, they're moving faster than in others. In India and China, of course, wherever you have a more totalitarian government, the Antichrist has his way much easier. America is probably the most difficult place on earth, but we talk about that too in this article here that I put the link into. It's horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com. I think it's volume 3, chapter 9. Oh no, chapter 6, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast, so you can find it there. And so you definitely want to check that out some other time or after the broadcast or later on when you have some time to check it out. Okay, what else do we got? I was hoping for some input from the chat room. Let me see. WW says the audio could hear the YouTube pretty good, so I try my best to make it as good as I can there. I'm glad it works. So let's see, had some more articles here. Oh yeah, I wanted to do that. Talking about this. This picture here, that video I put in with Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo. You can see them here. I have them on the screen there. And 'tis right behind him. You see the vice president there. And over on the right is Mr. Fauci. Yeah, he's been working on pandemics for 40 years, through different administrations. He's part of the, what do you call it? What part of the government is he part of? Well, he's part of the permanent government, the part of the government that never goes away, the unelected portion of our government, there. And of course you have Pompeo. Let's see. He's worked his way up into the head as head of the CIA. And now he's, Secretary of State. I think Mr. Pompeo has a higher devotion. Okay? Now, someone like the guy behind him over his shoulder there, the vice president, maybe compromised, maybe clueless. Who knows? I don't know the guy. I can't make any judgments about him. But do you think, you know, we've heard about Mr. Epstein and his fantasy island where he records everything that goes on there. Well, I think we know that Donald Trump's been there. Perhaps all these guys have been there or compromised some other way with some information or threatened with their families or extended the lives of their families and extended families. The Antichrist is diabolical. And his agents, and just read your rule books for the shadow government, you know, the Jesuit articles there, and they'll do anything, from the poison cup, the sword, to the threatened, your family, death, whatever it takes to control you, to compromise you. I mean, look at Donald Trump's face in his video. You can tell. He said, you should have told us before, or something like that. You should have told us before. And he's saying that after Mr. Pompeo announces, Mr. Shadow Government, CIA, Catholics in Action, Jesuit-controlled, part of the shadow government, announces that it's a live exercise. This is, we're doing this on purpose. And that leads me to my next article here from Lou Rockwell. COVID-19 is meant to be the Black Death, but in Britain, no more people are dying than normal. Yeah, can you imagine that? No more people are dying than normal. And that's a fact. The fact is that no more people are dying than normal. There's no emergency here. This is all fake. This is all for their agenda, political agenda. So keep that in mind. And I don't know how long they're going to be able to pull this off before we have enough unrest in America. But people seem to be so up for it. I mean, the churches are, even the churches have shut down. And I'm all for the pastor that decided to open up his church because, you know, we as Americans, we should be able to care for our own safety. And if we want to be reckless with our lives and our health, to the point that we don't endanger anyone else, I don't have a problem with it. And as I said, there are no more deaths. No more people are dying than usually die. This pandemic is smaller than the normal flu. As a matter of fact, it probably showed up in prior years and was just counted as part of the flu. It's supposed to be a little harder on your lungs. If you have respiratory problems already, it could be dangerous for you, but so could the flu. I mean, I know have some friends that are older. I have a friend in his 90s. Last year or a year or so ago, he had an episode where he had to go to the hospital because he had a pneumonia, and it was life-threatening for him because he's in his, you know, his mid to upper 90s. Yeah. It gets that way when you get old. I'm getting older. You know, I was born in somewhere in the early 50s. Yeah. And hey, you know, I'm getting that age, but I'm in good health. I can run circles around some of these teenagers, some that I know these days. I challenge my grandchildren to foot races and they lose. I'm going, what is going on, man? Here, that shouldn't be happening. But I don't overdo it, okay? Because I am getting up there in my years. And I'm going to die, you know, sometime in the next 40 years. You know, probably sooner than 40 years. I think that Jesus is actually going to return inside of 40 years. But I don't think he's returning inside of 30 years. Yeah. I think it's going to be about 2055. I've worked very hard on establishing the calendar from the creation of the world, and the year, the sixth millennium is about to end. Yeah, we're about to complete 6,000 years. It's going to be about the year 2055. I don't know the day or the hour or even the month. I'm not even complaining to no, play, I'm not even, saying that I know the exact year, even say give or take a year, because I don't really care. It comes out that it's about 2055. If it's 2053 or 2058, because I don't know exactly. You know, I'm not sure the calendar is right on, and you're meshing a Roman calendar with a creation calendar out of a timeline, a chronology that I found in the Bible, and that's all there for you on my website. Just look at the posting there, what year is it? I think it's trending too on my website in the top 10 articles there in the left-hand column at crosstheborder.org. So check it out. Questions, comments. There are a lot of comments, and people have helped me over about a five-year period, I think from 2008 to 2013, myself and my supporters and my subscribers to my blog have helped me to refine that article to get it where it is today, to where it can't really find a way to refine it any better. So that's it. We're going to go with that. Like I said, I'm not even going to say I know it's exactly 2055, but that would be in the middle of my guess, to give or take a year, okay? Like I said, it's 2055. The only way I'll live that long is if I'm very careful. Or very fortunate to live that long. I'm not sure how fortunate it'll be, but to live that long. But there are a few people up there that get to live into their early hundreds that seem to have their wits about them. And I hope to be one of those if needs be. But if it comes to what we're talking about, which, like I said, we just took 10 steps forward in bringing on the 2030 agenda, and the one world mark of the beast monetary system, I may have an opportunity to be martyred for my faith, for not participating. And for many people, because I withdrew 20 years ago. And it's been harder and more difficult since. It withdrew from a government beast, monetary, numbering, a mark system, because a mark is an identifying, and a beast mark, mark of the beast, but a mark of any beast is a identification with that beast, or that belongs to that beast, or that that beast gives you. So like a driver's license is a mark of a beast. Say, but is it the mark of the beast spoken of by the scripture? Now that's the question. And I believe there are many precursors out there to it, the Social Security definitely being one, because that came with the, at the same time they were developing their world reserve currency through the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve dollar, which is not really a dollar because a dollar is a measurement, a unit of measure. And it said that the dollar would be so many grains of gold or silver. Well, they threw that one out. That was U.S. dollars. Before the Federal Reserve, that was U.S. dollars. That was the money that the people owned. We don't own the money anymore. The Federal Reserve bankers and whoever owns those Federal Reserve bankers, because, well, many people just say they're called the Vatican bankers. I hate to say it, but that's the truth, because we know where the Antichrist resides. The reformers outed him explicitly, vociferously, 500-600 years ago. And then there were those Christians who were being persecuted before that, who outed and identified the Antichrist, the man of sin, as being seated at the Vatican. The Antichrist, the Vice Christ, the one who takes the place of God, sitting in the church, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And remember, before Paul wrote that, he said that, don't you know that you are the temple of God? So the Antichrist, the man of sin, takes the place of God in the temple of God, in the minds and in the hearts of the visible church on earth. So the Antichrist is not some guy who's just going to show up, certainly, but it's a line of men who has sat in the seat, in the papal chair throughout the centuries. And certainly the last one will be the final one. So at least perhaps maybe the dispensationalists and others who believe in an end-time Antichrist that's going to show up. Yeah, well, it will be the end-time Antichrist, because it will be the final pope. It will be the final man of sin sitting in the temple of God, in the hearts and minds of men, taking the place of God in those hearts and in those minds of the visible church on earth, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, let's see. Let me check out the chat room, see if we got anything going on there. See, COVID has been around for a while. That's why they all it. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. No sense at all, WW, but that's okay. And save to read later. Yes, I hope that everyone will read that chapter, the Hori Apocalypticae chapter there. It should be engaging enough that you should be able to read it and read it to the end and not be able to stop reading it until you get to the end. And I know the entire Hori Apocalypticae is quite a lengthy read, but it's definitely worth it all. You should read the whole thing while you're there. Just go back to the beginning and read the whole thing. But it is appropriate to read what fits the time that we are in. There's no doubt about that. Okay, well, we got about 10 minutes to this segment. And I want to thank for the few more people showed up in the chat room today. Thank you for that. See a lot of people have been here for a while and some new names in there, or at least one new. Voyager, haven't seen you for a while. At least I don't think so. Nickname, I don't know who that is. That's a new one. So anyway, it's good to see a few people in there. And for all the people that aren't in the chat room that are listening because you're actually working, checked with most of my family and extended family in this area, everybody's working because we're all necessary. well, I'm not working because I'm necessary. I'm working because this is what I always do anyway. So nothing really has changed for me, except thank God I don't need toilet paper because I already bought a case from Costco about a month ago. So, and that's enough for the next year for my household, really. So really nothing has changed except I can't buy bulk beans, like 50-pound sack of beans anymore, because I went to replace it and I found out even before this there was kind of a shortage in the bean crop. So beans are really very expensive right now. It's crazy. Might as well just buy ground beef. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just praying that this will end sooner and not later as it dawns on more people. I mean, how long can they fake and hype up normal death rate from flu, you know, and just because they call it a coronavirus. Plus, they've got 100%. Check out those articles on, and go to naturalnews.com, another place you should check out and subscribe to, and lourockwell.com. And like I said, you can listen in the afternoon to, David Knight. And, it runs overnight too. So all you people that get up early on the other coast, on the East Coast, I think we start playing him at 7 a.m. So, we start rebroadcasting him at 7 a.m. And he's also live on another schedule at band.video. So you can check that out too. But he's the only one over there that I really like to listen to of those over there at band.video. Okay. No more questions, comments, or anything. Nobody's calling in. So, let's see. What can I talk about for the next, let's see. Check my mailbox here and see what else I've got here. See, the biggest fraud in history is happening right now before our eyes. That's a Lou Rockwell article. And a lot of good, I find myself reading a lot of the articles at lourockwell.com because they're just so good, and so many of the authors are just excellent. They do excellent work. See, A Light in the Darkness. Yes, Covert 19 is meant to be the new Black Death, but there no more people are dying than normal. Americans are in for a rude awakening by Peter Schiff. Managing a Disaster by Walter Williamson. Great people and authors over there. And who else do we have? Yeah, anyway, so definitely highly recommend lourockwell.com, and you get on their mailing list. And yes, they send you a lot of articles. You can't read them all, but you can pick and choose the ones that pique your interest and keep you apprised as to a more realistic view of what's going on out there in the world today. And anyway, I pray that most people are essential out there and working hard. And if not, I hope that you've prepared yourself for a time such as this. Most of us, if you've been listening to First Amendment Radio for 20 years, and wherever we were before that, crossed the border for longer than that, although we did change our name somewhere along the line in the 2000s there, you'll have been made more preparation than most people on earth. And I can't say I'm really a hardcore prepper, but certain things I have done, I've always made sure that, you know, I buy in bulk, and before I run out, I buy in bulk to replace the bulk that I'm running out of. And that's just become a habit for me. And those are the kind, and plus it's cheaper to buy things in bulk. Anything you can buy in bulk is cheaper over the long run. You just need patience and the self-control to be able to do the wise thing. So hopefully you've learned that, or you're learning that as the years go by, as you get older and see many things. Okay. Well, go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Make sure you subscribe there. Share the articles on your social media or email lists. Most people have hundreds of people in their email list. And, you know, you can share something and you can add everyone on your list and share it that way. And introduce, you know, when you find something, you think this is really interesting. But I find that, you know, as much as I like prophecy and have enjoyed my 15-year dive into it here that I'm sharing with you now, what I've learned over these 15 years of my deep dive into Bible prophecy, still most people don't care or not interested or are really stuck on the shallow stuff they've learned, dispensationalism, things that aren't in the Bible, but they believe are there. They genuinely believe in their hearts that what they're looking at is the truth, even though their method of interpretation, of interpreting God's word is false. It's false. It's all conjecture and speculation. That's what it is. It's conjecture and speculation. And so they believe conjecture and speculation over verified history, the facts of history, yeah, verified. They don't want to believe that. They would rather believe and say, as they're taught, our speculation is true. If you don't believe, but see, that's the Antichrist. That's the Counter-Reformation eschatology or prophecy interpretation that he wants you to believe. Because it deflects from him the accusation that the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin. So they have everyone believing a great delusion. And it's just people out there genuinely believe. You can't convince them that the coronavirus or that false prophecy is not true. They simply will not open their eyes. They simply will not. And they will be led as sheep to the slaughter, except for the elect. And if you're wondering right now, if you're doubting, I just ask you to pray to the God, to God Almighty, that Jesus' blood can cover your sins, that you could be part of the elect, that your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I would beg and I would plead for it. Because I have begged for it. I have pleaded to God Almighty for it. And he has given me assurance that I am there. And let me tell you, I am not worthy. It is not because of anything I've done. It is only because of what Christ has done, the work that he did. And any righteousness that I have is his righteousness because he's imparted it and imputed it to me by the blood of his sacrifice that he made almost 2,000 years ago, across the border into the kingdom of God. There is absolutely nothing more important than that. It's more important than everything else that is going on, is to make sure that you belong to him.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border as a Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, we're going to continue our series on, what am I calling this series? Boy, I even forgot. really intelligent of me to forget what I call it. Oh, yes. Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And this is going to be part four in this series. And you can find this, it'll be at my website. You can find any of the Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, parts 1, 2, or 3. And there's a link on each one that take you to the first part, which is a playlist. So we'll be adding this one to that playlist. So Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And since I'm a Reformed Christian, theologically and eschatologically, so this is where that stems from, and that's what I'm sharing with you, is my book as it stands now. And I'm still working on it, so whatever I'm sharing to you now, it will likely be better when the book is finished later on this year. But I'm trying to get these chapters done, and I've got quite a ways to go. And so there's still a lot of work to do, so appreciate your prayers for that. Where we left off, we were going to pick up on the false prophet and the three frogs era. And so I'm still refining this here. I've written about this previously in my last book, when the third temple is built. So this is going to be my everything prophecy book as far as, you know, I have anything new. And for what I don't need, like, there's so much in the Hori Apocalyptikae, which is excellent, doesn't need any revision. You know, up through the end, to the beginning of the 19th century, the end of the 18th and beginning of the 19th century, our good friend E.B. Eliot had it all correct. What he did get wrong was the false prophet and the two-horned earth beast. He tried to place them in the past when they were rising during his time, but he could not recognize them yet. So that's where we differ. And I believe that if he were here today, that he would agree with me on that. So we've discussed previously where the Protestant historicist interpretation of the Revelation left off at the end of the 1260 years era. Immediately after the opening statement of the sixth vial, the three frogs are introduced in the Revelation. And it says, for they are the spirits of devils, that devils being plural. The futurists would have you believe that there will be a singular false prophet to identify at some juncture in the future. You know, an end-time false prophet, much like the end-time Antichrist of Francisco Ribera. But a careful study reveals a wider view. In my view, if there is a named singular false prophet, he would be none other than the man of sin. Revelation 16, 13, and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now you notice these devils, these spirits of devils, working, of course, through these principalities, these powers, through wicked men. Okay? They work, they don't work miracles like Jesus worked. They work pretended miracles, deceiving, lying miracles. Because they have no real power. They only have the power of seducing minds, the power that you give them over yours. And they go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world. So all of the nations of the world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And that's the battle of Armageddon, the one that happens when Christ returns. So that's the purpose of these three unclean spirits. Now the dragon, one comes out of the mouth of the dragon being representative of that old serpent and the devil. In this spirit, we look for the continued and pervasive influence of religious pagan idolatry rising in the world at large and even gaining influence in the visible church. Do we see this? Yes, and more so every year, as every year goes by, as we get closer to that the day of that great battle of God Almighty. Okay? We also anticipate the final rise of persecution and wave of martyrdom, again emanating also from the visible church, directed at the true Bible-believing elect of God, as in the Inquisitions of the past. The beast, because one of these spirits comes out of the mouth of the beast. Now, what is the beast? Of course, we're speaking of the final beast in its final form. But this beast also, the scripture says, the revelation says that this beast gets its power from the dragon. So, this beast getting its power from the dragon, we recognize as the Roman Empire, which morphs through history from the solid legs of iron and the Daniel 2, chapter 2 image of the feet and 10 toes mingled with clay when it is struck by the stone cut out without hands. That's the great day of God Almighty, when the stone strikes the image in the feet and it's desolated, so that no place is found for it anymore. And of course, then this stone becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. And we have the millennial reign of Christ with Jesus, the King of the universe, sitting as King of the earth for a millennial reign, for the purpose, whatever purpose God has in mind. And you can read about that in the Revelation and throughout the whole entire scripture, really. If you want to know what's the purpose, why would Jesus do that? Because the amillennials, they don't get it. They don't understand. They don't believe that Jesus could do that. Or they say, why would he want to do it? Well, why wouldn't he want to do it? One, there's another 1,000 years worth of souls that can be added to the kingdom. There are many more elect that can be born in another 1,000 years. And it would, when it comes to eternity, and the prize beyond the grave and beyond this 7,000-year creation, the more, the merrier. So if we can get another 1,000 years of, if we can harvest this crop for another 1,000 years, then I say yes and amen. Let's do it. I'm all for the plan. As if it would make any difference if I wasn't. Just because the amillennials aren't on board with us doesn't mean it's not going to happen, that God's not going to carry out his word as explicitly stated. They say, oh no, it's only figurative. But there's nothing in the text or anywhere that explicitly states that we must interpret it that way. It has to be assumed. And it's kind of like it has to be assumed like dispensationalism, by conjecture. And, you know, speculation. I'm going to go with the literal. But that's another topic for another day. We're going to dive deep into that and leave no stone unturned when we get there. That's in my book, too. Okay, the beast, which also gets its power from the dragon, we recognize as the Roman Empire, which morphs through history from the solid legs of iron in the Daniel chapter 2 image to the feet and 10 toes mingled with clay when it is struck by the stone cut out without hands and desolated so that no place is found for it anymore. We recognize the desolation as the same event described in the Revelation as the fall of Mystery Babylon and culminating in the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The spirit coming from the mouth of the beast will result in the idolatry of statism. That's what we got going on today. People are bowing down to the state. This is part of the three frog era. What is going on right now on this earth, and the gullibility of the masses to fall for it, is part of these pervasive spirits that have been going throughout the earth over the last 2 centuries that will culminate in the great day of God Almighty, the end of the sixth millennium and the beginning of the Sabbath millennium, the millennial reign of Christ. The false prophet from the G5578, that's the Greek, is everywhere else in the Bible translated as plural, false prophets. Only in the Revelation is it translated singular. Here it is. It may be taken as plural. They are the spirits of devils. And it should be, even if in any instance it may refer to a singular individual, as should be the man of God. Man of God doesn't mean there was just one. You know, there are many that could fall under the category of the man of God. Or even the man of sin may refer to a singular pope or the whole line. Any use of false prophet as singular should be contrasted with the true prophet. Jesus was that true prophet that Moses foretold the coming of. So as the Antichrist is the usurper of Christ's position in the church as the man of sin, so the false prophet usurps the place of the true, making all of these appellations refer to one and the same persona, which persona will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone with the beast upon Christ's return. The spirit of prophecy, being described as the testimony of Jesus, the false prophet or spirit of false prophecy may also refer to the abundance of false gospels and the inundation of false prophecy and false Bible interpretation to deceive even the elect, if it were possible, as disseminated by these evil spirits in the final epoch leading up to the return of our Lord. So typical has the false prophet become that they are difficult to tell from the true prophet of God. In the nominal church, we see these devilish spirits being loosed here for the specific purpose of organizing evil for their own ultimate destruction at the return of Christ. We also notice something similar at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, where Satan is loosed out of his prison. Now, the amillennial, as an aside, they say that chapter 20 is a recapitulation because it kind of rhymes. You know, they always say history repeats, but no, history doesn't repeat, but it certainly does rhyme. And that's exactly what happens, and it has to happen. Because there has to be a way at the end of the millennium to sort out those mortals that are living at that time to see who are true and who are not. So we also notice something similar at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, where Satan is loosed out of his prison to gather the forces of evil to supposedly battle against the camp of the saints. in both of these instances, the annihilation of those evil forces is the result. One, the first time Christ returns, when he returns, he destroys all those evil forces that are standing against him upon his return. Now, before he returns, many may suffer, and apparently, according to the Revelation, will suffer for their faith, as many are now, and probably will more as time moves on toward that end, toward that day. The persecutions and the martyrdoms will probably, most likely, become more common. There is paganism, statism, and false prophecy running rampant in the visible and nominal church. That there is paganism, statism, and falsism running rampant in the visible and nominal church is an undeniable reality to the discerning Bible believer. This era has seen an ever-increasing prominence of these evils, and will until the great day arrives. But how long is the Three Frog Era, and when did it begin? Very good questions. And see if anyone in the chat room has any answers to that. Okay, well, everybody's just listening. I hope I'm answering all the questions. But how long is the Three Frog Era, and when did it begin? Would the evil that comes out of the mouth of the beast, that is, human government, be consistent with the spirits that were loosed with the French Revolution? Another question. And my answer? Undeniably. And don't take my word for it. Consequently, this spiritual reality has developed and matured through the 19th and 20th centuries and continues exponentially. Obviously exponential right now. I mean, have you ever seen things move so quickly as they're moving during this last or final century of the sixth millennium? And now that we're getting down to the very end of it, let me quote the legacy of the French Revolution, the loss of restraint. I would be remiss not to start with the darkest legacy of the French Revolution, namely the terror. It reverberates to this day through every violent act done by revolutionaries and terrorists, from the Bolsheviks to Bin Laden, in the name of the people. The historian J.L. Talmon argues that the legacy of Jacobinism, the most radical part of the French Revolution, the most radical part of the French Revolution is totalitarian democracy. That's what we're in now, a totalitarian democracy. The messianic ideal born in the French Revolution inspired the totalitarian movements of the 20th century, especially communism. But I would argue its influence is not limited to communism. It is present as well in all illiberal movements that restrict liberty in the name of equality and justice. Such illiberalism exists today in Russia, Venezuela, and Iran, where a facade of democracy masks oppression and a corrupt rule. You see it in the populist nationalisms of the world that end up in dictatorship, as the French Revolution did with Napoleon. Plebiscitary democracy, where the people are allowed to speak only once and forever hold their peace, is also a legacy of the French Revolution. The fundamental error in this legacy was the loss of restraint. In their fervor to create a new humanity, the Jacobins, in particular, committed the cardinal sin of losing their humanity. To illustrate this point, it is well worth remembering that even Niccolo Machiavelli, who served in a diplomatic mission at the court of one of the cruelest tyrants in European history, Cesare Borgia, Pope, saw the necessity of restraint. In writing The Prince, which was modeled on Borgia, Machiavelli believed that sometimes evil had to be done to create the good. But he always understood that it was, after all, still intrinsically evil. It was an exception to the rule, if you will. That changed with the French Revolution. Now evil acts committed in the name of good became, in and of themselves, good. That's very Jesuitical. The very definition of Jesuitical. There are few ideals. There are few ideas unleashed in the world that have caused more misery. While totalitarianism on the left and the right has had different philosophical roots and different aspirations, they were united in this one goal. Nothing could be allowed to stand in their way of totally transforming mankind and societies. This was equally true for Stalin as well as Hitler, for Pol Pot as well as Osama bin Laden. The direct ideological heirs of the French Revolution, socialism and communism, of course, have had a varied history. Gracchus Bobov, the Conspiracy of Equals, 1796, was one of the last of the revolutionaries and the first to envision an absolute leveling of society. Marx and others turned socialism into communism as a critique of the capitalist system. Lenin and others transformed socialism into communism as a totalitarian movement. But today in the West, the socialist idea has been tamed. Socialist ideals have made their peace with elections and the capitalist system, becoming social democracies in Europe and the welfare state in the United States. And let me see. I got that article from heritage.org. And if you want that, you can email me for that article there that I quote in my book. And also I have, this is in my book, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. This quote is in there too. And you get a free copy of that by going to my website, crosstheborder.org, and subscribing there. Click on the free ebook tab, and I will gladly send you a PDF or EPUB version of that. Just follow the directions there in the free ebook tab. And then make sure that you request the book you want. If you don't request one, I'm going to send you. The rapture will be canceled. Okay, we're going to go into a break here in, 1 minute. Anyway, so I'm going to pick up here when we get back from the break. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border. Tell someone, spread it around. Share FirstAmendmentRadio.com if you're not listening to it. Listening to Prophecy Reality News app. You know, just go to your, app store on your device and type in their Prophecy Reality News and it'll come up. And you can listen to First Amendment Radio on a 32-bit or a 64-bit stream there, your choice, when you install the app. Plus, all of the podcasts are there. You can select the day of the week you want to listen to. Also, go to our website, and you can find ways. Click on the support button there, and you can find ways to support First Amendment Radio. Because I believe for the First Amendment, we are essential. We are an essential ministry here that the world needs while they're locked down by the march of the covert 19 Antichrist operation that's going on. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes and we'll pick up right here where we left off.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager, Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. And this segment, we're going through the false prophet and the three frogs era. And we were discussing before we broke off there. When did the three frog era begin? Because that is the era that leads up to the return of Christ, is the three frog era. These three frog-like spirits have been loosed on the world and have been loosed for here several hundred years. I believe with the sixth vial, they were loosed about the same time that the French Revolution was loose. And we see, we're making our case there, the direct ideological heirs of the French Revolution are socialism and communism. Of course, they have a varied history. Marx and others turned socialism into communism as a critique of the capitalist system. Lenin and others transformed socialism into communism as a totalitarian movement. But today in the West, and you see people are still trying out there in the politics of the USA. There are a few out there still trying to bring communism into America. But today in the West, the socialist idea has been tamed. Socialist ideals have made their peace with elections and with the capitalist system to a certain degree. They've compromised both. becoming social democracies in Europe and the welfare state in the United States. These ideals are the very seed of the model exposed in Revelation chapter 13 about the monetary mark of the beast. Those who do not go along with the totalitarian tyranny of equals will be beheaded. They will be killed. And those who kill them will think that they do God a service. Of course, their God is the God of the Zeitgeist and the head of the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, who once again, through his Jesuit army, his shadow government, has permeated it and dominated the outer court of the church, the majority of the visible church on earth, as well as the secular mind at large. And just who are these persecuted ones that will be martyred? Well, the scripture tells us, Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Of course, that's from chapter 12, and chapter 12 that specifically referring to the era of the Reformation and those that kept the testimony of Christ during her 1260-year overt reign. Chapter 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The time in which we live now is a church era increasingly dominated by the false prophet spirit. So we see the beginning of this era, and we understand the end, which is clearly expressed in the scripture text, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Okay, well, that's that leads to our next chapter. And our next chapter is chapter 3, is the day year interpretation. And I'm not sure I want to jump into that because that's going to be, quite lengthy. So maybe we ought to just discuss some other things throughout the rest of this segment here. Comments, questions, any more we can say about this. It's become quite noticeable here, especially in since the turn of the century. Because back in the 90s when the so-called Patriot Movement was rising, when the Clintons came to prominence, and there's sort of kind of a Christian Patriot Movement. It was kind of shut down when the Bushes were put in their place, and people seemed to relax and didn't realize that the Bushes were even worse than the Clintons, that nobody was taking opposition. And, you know, perhaps we might find when we come to the end of the 8-year Trump reign that things got much worse under his reign because those conservatives, those that would stand against, say, Obama reign, would have been up in arms to be doing what Trump is doing right now. You know, the anti-socialist president, ruling and reigning president during the most socialist times that America has ever experienced, and now even more so with the so-called crisis being imposed, or plandemic, using a phrase from Greg Anthony, the plandemic, And so this is planned, that we will never let a crisis go to waste. So when the COVID-19 rose up in China several months ago, it looked like it was just going to blow over, but I believe that the Antichrist and his minions decided that it's time to move forward. We have controlled the minds of the youth of America for long enough now that we can really pull this off, because we have enough, 20, 30, 40-year-olds that have been conditioned by our education system, and speaking for the Antichrist, the Jesuits who control practically all education, because You know, if they can't make you become Catholic, if they can't make you worship the Antichrist, well, they can turn you into pagans that are easily controlled. They want you to lose self-control, because see, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And if you lose self-control and you give in to your baser, animalistic, you know, fallen nature, if you give in to that and you are ruled by that, well, then they rule you. Because if you don't exercise self-control, which is the first form of government that we all have to do with, number one, self-control. That's right. If you don't control yourself, you will be controlled. So you're much easier. See, the Antichrist knows what he's doing. Yeah. His shadow government, they know what they're doing when they demoralize and debauch a society. And they introduce all of this perversion into the public schools and pervert the minds of the young, because they want them to have no self-control. The less self-control they have, the easier they are controlled by their basest desires. That's why they go in to corrupt everyone in government through their Jesuit. That's their Jesuit plan. I did a series, what it was called, the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist. They did, I don't know how many part, 10-part series on going through the rules for the shadow government that they developed, what, 500 years ago. They put their plan into effect, and they've been working it ever since. And you follow the history, you have to realistically say, yeah, this is true. This is what's happened. Their plan has worked. They have worked this plan. They put this plan into effect, and they made it work, and now they rule the world. They own the money, and they own just about everybody on earth. And the more they can debauch a society, the more they can turn people over to their baser desires, the easier they are to rule. It's all planned. It's all part of the plan. It's part of the three frog era that we live in now. And it's much more difficult for the elect. We're all affected by it. And that's why I say we need to plead our case to the Almighty and say, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I want, please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Please call me as one of your elect. There's nothing, absolutely nothing more important. I don't know who the elect are, but you are the ones I'm trying to reach. You may not know. You may have never even heard about the elect. Do they teach that in the churches? That only of the elect, that God whom he foreknew? And it all starts there at Romans 8:28. That's right. We know that all things work together for good for those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And, I should look it up because I'm messing it up. It's one of my memory verses, but sometimes when I go to recite one of my memory verses, I just can't do it. But it's one that you should memorize. You should open up your Bible to Romans 8:28 and just read from there forward. I'm loading my eSword so I can get it correct. My computer's very busy at this time. I may have a supercomputer here. Yeah, it's a thank God for that. Okay, I said Romans. Yes, I'm in Romans chapter 9 right now. 8:28. So I'm going to go there and read this to you. Very important. Open up your Bibles now to Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? You know, there was a time I said, I'm not sure I love God. And I prayed and I said, God, please help me. Teach me how to love you, because I want to make sure that I do. Kind of important, you know. To them that who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the elect. When Paul speaks of the elect, when you hear the word elect in the Bible, these are the ones that love God. The ones he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. See, I want to be conformed to his image, that he, that is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah, as many as possible. That's what we're after. That's why I like the millennial reign of Christ, another 1,000 years of harvest. more elect, the firstborn among many brethren. Not going to limit it there. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Oh, praise God. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I mean, it's like the nominal Christian out there. They'll just read this half of one verse here. If God be for us, who can be against us? You better read all that goes before it, because that's part of it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There it is. They are the elect, those that love him and are called according to his purpose, those he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his only begotten son. This is the very definition of being a Reformed Christian, Reformed theology. I can't do it. He justifies. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. He is our mediator. There is no other mediator between us and Jesus Christ. He is the mediator for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's our salvation. It's in him. He is our righteousness. I heard this song on pop Christian radio that we are his righteousness. No, and I'm going, no. It's backwards. He is our righteousness. We have none. If we have any, it is his. Any righteousness that we could have of our own effort is worthless, valueless. It cannot save you. It is only his blood that saves us. It is only his blood that washes us clean, that cleanses us from our sin, and by faith, because we are only being perfected. None of us will ever reach a state of immaculate perfection in this life. It's unreachable. But we can be in the process of being perfected. We can allow his righteousness to live in us, and we can pray and plead for it. I do, still even. I mean, that's what a repentant heart is. Repentance isn't something you just do once. Repentance is the narrow way. I call it the repentance road. It's a continual thing. It's the renewing of your mind by the washing of the water of the word. That's the true gospel, because Jesus preached it. He said he started out his ministry, went around, and he was proclaiming. And he cried out and he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That's the gospel that Jesus preached. So if there's no repentance in your gospel, then you have a false gospel. If you have a gospel where you're saved by works, it's a false gospel. If you think you're going to work it off in purgatory, it's a false gospel. You're being led into a gospel of death, one that has no life. The gospel life is hard. It is not easy. The easy way is to lose control and follow your flesh and to give up your first stand in government, which is self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. So we come all the way back to that. And it begins by getting on your knees and repenting, changing your mind, because that's what the word repent means. It's not a bad word. Change your mind. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus went about saying, change your mind. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. And what do you need to change your mind about? How does that make any sense at all? You change your mind about the things that you're doing that are displeasing God. You change your mind about God's law and what God wants you to do with your life, His will for you. And you change your mind and you say, God's will is the best for me. Not what I think, not what I will, not what my flesh desires, not what gives me pleasure, but results in death, but what pleases God and results in eternal life, regardless of the cost in this temporal life. And we learn to keep our eye on the prize by repenting when we stray off the repentance road. We repent. So get back. Get me back to the repentance road, Lord, whatever it takes. Never let me go. Keep me in your kingdom. I need my name. I have no hope if my name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. If it's not there, I have no hope. I plead. I beg. There, I can't go on if it's not there. And I will beg until my dying day for that assurance that my name is written there. And believe me, if you're doing that, your name will be written there. If you make that the object of your life, then you are one of the elect. But it's very important to find out. More important than all of these other things. More important than looking spiritual, acting spiritual, and doing so-called spiritual works or good works. Let the good works follow your faith rather than relying on your good works for your salvation. Day-year interpretation. That's where we're going next on prophecy reality. So you'll want to come back next week for that. Let's see. Check out the chat room here. Corp Raid says, Ephesians 6:12, meaning of our struggle is not against flesh and blood, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and spiritual forces and evil and the heavenly realms. I'm not sure what translation that is, but it's close enough. And we know that all things work together, yes. Memorize that. And you just, you know, if you memorize that, even that one verse, where we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And that way you can make sure. It'll keep before your face the idea that you need to truly love God. Not according as the world thinks, but what does it mean to God for you to love Him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what are His commandments? Yeah. What are His commandments? To obey Him in our life, to repent and be baptized and walk on the narrow way that leads to life. That's His commandment to us. And we walk in liberty too. Yeah. But not as an occasion for the flesh. Because liberty can turn to licentiousness if we're not careful. But there's always repentance, because as long as you're on that repentance road, you're always going to come back and you're going to get stronger and you're going to be more conformed to Him as every day goes by, as every year goes by. It's hard to see on a day-to-day basis, but you should be able to look back over the last few years or the last 10 or the last 40 years. If you've been walking with Him that long and go, yeah, He's been working. It's hard to see as I go along the way. But the further back I can look, the more I can see that He has worked, and I can see how patient He is. And you know, it would have been great maybe if He could have just changed me instantly. But what would have been the point? What would I have learned? How would I have been conformed to His image if he instantly changed me to be 100% obedient and perfect. That day is coming. But for now, I want to get as much out of this life as I possibly can on the repentance road. Yeah, I do. And so I want to stick around and do what I'm doing until he returns or until he takes me, whichever way it works out. But I'll always keep my eye on the prize. And I pray for all of you too. I mean, that's the only reason I do this, is it helps me. Yeah, it strengthens my faith and it helps me to do what he has called me to do, which is this. And look forward to meeting everyone here in that day and in that millennial reign of Christ. Hopefully I'll meet everyone that has touched my life and everyone's life that I've touched. But through eternity, in the eternal state to come after that, definitely, we will all meet. And it will be glorious. We will see what God has stored up for those that love him. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you until we meet again, or that day comes, whichever is first.